Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And welcome into our last show for 2019 and our last show for the decade. We'll be headed into the 20s beginning next week. And, well, we're going to be starting our fourth season of Bayou Wild Television. I hope you watch that show. It's available on YouTube if you can't get it on any of the other networks we carry the program on. It's on Cox Sports Television. In fact, we got a run this morning, a special 9 a.m. edition. This week, we take a look back at some of the highlights of 2019 on Bayou Wild. Tomorrow will be on at 8 a.m., and then our regular Sunday time on Cox Sports Television is 7 p.m. You can pick up Cox Sports TV on several networks and systems in 17 states. Also on WBRZ, Channel 2 in Baton Rouge, it'll be on in about 34 minutes if you want to catch it there while you listen to the radio program. And then on Saturday mornings at 4 a.m., you already missed it, WUPL Channel 54 in New Orleans carries it. We're also on ETEL, Vision Systems, Southeastern Channel, as well as that YouTube. I'm going to be showing you some of the highlights, some of my favorite features from 2019, which included Alaska, our South Dakota pheasant hunt, a cooking feature, Death by Gumbo with Chef John Fultz. And if that does not make you hungry, better check your pulse. Anyway, Bayou Wild TV, check it out. Martha Spencer, co-host, Chris Lecoq, our editor and producer, and great job with the camera. All right, we are in the middle of, exactly in the middle, of our selection of the baddest of the bad boys for 2019. We're asking you to cast your vote. We've got the Captain Snapper Napper. Guy had 143 red snapper in the freezer of his ship. 90 of them were undersized. He's number one. Number two is the Dennis Rippon. He killed a black bear with his bow and arrow. He took the head and the hide, stuck it in his freezer. Unfortunately, it had a chip in it, and it led agents directly to his home. He's number two. We got a guy who likes to kill and eat ibises, Larry Dozat, and he was teaching his grandson to do the same thing. And he got caught for contributing to delinquency as well as illegally killing a protected bird. He's number three, the ibis eater. Number four, two Louisiana men for turkeys, gators, bobcats, and drugs. All of that in one. David Poston of Woodworth and Darryl Cole of 29 of Boyce. They are number four. Your number five choice, the whooping crane killer, Gilvin Oquan. Shot one while he was out cutting grass. For whatever reason, I guess he was trying to run it out of a crawfish pond. Of course, those are all equipped with telemetry devices. They made a case. He pled guilty recently in Judge Carol B. Whitehurst's court in Lafayette. And unfortunately, she gave him probation, 120 hours of community service, and said, go take one of those free hunter education courses. His lawyer jumped up and said, that's too stiff. We're going to appeal that sentence. That's number five, the whooping crane killer. And then number six, 16 deer. And what do you get? A fine of about $18,246 and possible jail time for Clifton Sharp. He is number six. Go on our text line, 870-870, and cast your vote. They're coming in fast and furious. We got one from the old colonel in Terry, Mississippi. He likes the turkeys, gators, bobcats, and drugs, oh my. Here's the report. Says, I was driving through Mississippi last week, Highway 61 north of Vicksburg. So many mallards flying, the sky was black. It must have been at night. There can't be enough mallards to darken a lit sky. Just kidding. But he says, so the ducks are close, but not down here. Well, the thing is, you know, with all due respect, you might have seen a lot of birds. But you see that, little small areas with large concentrations. But overall, the number of mallards coming down to Mississippi and Louisiana and even Arkansas is just a fraction of what it once was. And we're going to talk more about the duck crisis in Louisiana in that 8 o'clock hour. Here's one that says, number four, they endangered protected wildlife and humans, too, with drugs, alcohol, and guns. Bad combination, no matter how you look at it. That's a good perspective. Here's one that says number five, which is the whooping crane, and the awful judge, too. We got a check in from Satsuma, Alabama. We have a Satsuma, Louisiana. Where is Satsuma, Alabama? Let me know. And here's one says, I vote for the black bear bow hunter. What a dummy. He should have known. Not only was it against the law, but had a chip, too. Thanks. That's Richard in Mount Hermon. He says, Happy New Year. Hope it will be a great year for the Louisiana sportsman. Don't we all? And here's one that says, if the state wants retribution, I think you mean restitution, if you illegally kill a deer, then the state is claiming ownership of said deer. So when that deer runs in front of my car and I hit it, the state should be liable for what its property did to my car. Good luck with that one. I guess we all, as the state and the government, which is us, the people, need to get a liability insurance for our deer population. Interesting thought, though. All right, we come back after this. We call him the forensic fisherman. Mike Gallo, Captain Mike, join us and update us on Lake Bourne, Lake Pontchartrain, the Chalmette Wall, the Intercoastal, the Mr. Go, and parts off the coast of Mississippi. He fishes everywhere. He's got a boat and travels. We'll be right back with his report on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And our fishing report from Captain Mike Gallo is a presentation of SeaTow. You know those guys and girls. They offer fuel drops whenever and wherever you need it. Tow you in 24/7, jumpstart you if you got an electrical problem. What you're getting for $179 for a whole year is peace of mind because you know that rescue is just one call away. Become a member. To do it, call Captain Chris, 504-301-4545, or sign up online, seatow.com. Well, Captain Mike, how are you getting ready to close out 2019 this weekend?
How am I getting ready? I'm about to wander down a dark path and climb up in a tree stand.
Oh, it's your deer hunting weekend. Yeah.
That's right. I did make a few trips Sunday and Tuesday of last week. Went down to the Mr. Go, and the pattern seems to be fairly consistent. Used my depth finder to find ledges. And then I'm fishing a drop shot with two plastics. I used a Matrix Glow down on the bottom, and I used a Zoom Tiny Fluke up on the top hook, which was only about 18 inches from the bottom hook.
Now, how did you come up with that combination? That's a strange combination.
Well, I tell you, many years ago, I noticed that we often fish around rain minnows in Lake Pontchartrain, but we rarely see rain minnows in their stomachs when we're cleaning them, but I just got to figure they're eating those rain minnows. So that tiny fluke really resembles a rain minnow pretty good. And I've been experimenting with it, I guess, about 5 years. And it's amazing. Sometimes I catch them on all the bottom rig, and other times I catch the majority of them on the tiny fluke. So it gives me the opportunity to put two different size lures in the water, and I can obviously go with two different colors, light and dark. Gives me twice as many lures in the water, help me catch fish. So that's been my fall pattern, like I said, over the last 5 years or so, and it's been productive enough where I feel like I can share that information and let others get in on it, because it certainly works very well.
That's great. What else have you been hearing or finding out firsthand out there?
Well, I can tell you that the water temperatures has risen up quite a bit this week with the warming trend, and I would expect the fish to be scattered, not really ganged up in any one area. I found them along ledges, and that's very common no matter what time of year it is. But I did move with the trolling motor, and once we found them, we really didn't move very far, maybe up and down the ledge 100 yards. And it felt like we would catch them for 5 or 10 minutes, and then they might be gone for 10 or 15 minutes, and then we'd catch them again. So I just got the feeling that the fish were in little schools, and as they would pass by, I would communicate with my clientele or who I was fishing with, hey, I caught them over here, and try to get everybody to cast in that area and maximize the opportunity when they're around.
All right, let's take a break from fishing for a minute. Let's talk about Captain Mike Gallo, the deer hunter. What are you looking for this morning? Are they putting you on a trophy stand, or are you out there looking for a sausage deer? What's your mindset this morning headed to the stand?
Well, I prefer to be the designated doe hunter, but if some nice horns walk out and it looks like it's a 3.5-year-old deer or older, I'll certainly squeeze the trigger and see if we can't make them die of lead poison.
Now, what kind of woods are you hunting? Are you hunting piney woods, or is it bottomland, or a mix?
It's a mixture of piney and bottomland. They got me this morning. I'm going to be on the edge of a creek, a small creek that runs, and I believe it's more piney south of me and more wooded behind me. So I'll be right along a ledge. Maybe it's like fishing.
Well, good luck to you. Are you going to have your phone with you in the stand? We might call you back later and get an update.
I will have my phone with me. Whether or not I recognize that it's vibrating, because I often get out of the stand and realize I've missed 4 or 5 messages or what have you. So if I have the opportunity, I'll certainly answer the call.
Well, good luck to you, and Happy New Year, Mike, and thank you for bringing your reports to us each week all year long, and look forward to doing it again in 2020.
Well, I look forward to it, too, and I'm going to do my best Ed Ogeron imitation Gold Tigers.
And not bad, not bad. Thank you, Mike. Good luck on that deer. Get you one.
Talk to you next year.
All righty. Yeah, that's right. It'll be next year when we talk. It'll be next decade, actually. All right, coming back after this, it's time for our Paddler's Report. Brendan Bayard, he'll do it for you, coming back right after this timeout. You're listening to The Outdoors with Don Dubuque, Radio Network. /peddler for those of you with kayaks with the pedals. It's brought to you by the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club and a presentation of Massey's Outfitters. You're going to find them in Mid-City of New Orleans, Covington, and Baton Rouge, and they've got the best kayak fishing models. Brands like Hobie, Jackson Kayak, and Native Watercraft. You'll find it all on their website at MasseyOutfitters.com, or you can also check them out on Facebook. Brendan Bayard is one of the field reporters and a member of the Bayou Coast Kayak Fishing Club. Good morning, Brendan. Did you get everything you needed under the Christmas tree, or leave everything you needed under the Christmas tree if it went that way?
Oh, yes, sir. We had some happy kids at the house. They had a lot of gadgets, gizmos, clothes, and all kinds of stuff, and we had a great Christmas. My parents came in for a day. I went over to my grandparents' house in Dilplat, had a little get together with the extended family over there, and then we just wrapped up, you know, cleaning up the house and all that. And so I snuck off yesterday with one of my oldest son, and we went fishing, caught a bunch of fish. And now we're going to get ready to have a LSU football party today. So,
good day. Where'd you pick the fish up yesterday? Were they fresh or saltwater fish?
Yeah, we went down to Leeville and just, you know, kind of pedaled around all the different little bays over there. We had a little bit of rain early yesterday, a little bit of wind, but the water was clean, the water was warm, the air was warm, so they bought they bit all day long for us. We fished, you know, mostly with topwater baits. The she-dog was kind of the go-to bait yesterday with the kind of the wind was probably, you know, 12 to 15, you know, not white capping, but almost. And, you know, whenever the bay water is a little bit rough like that, I always use that loud bait. And the trout were scattered, but we caught them all day long. There wasn't a time that went by that was, you know, over 30 minutes that we didn't catch a fish. It was just slow and steady all day long. I think the fish are really spread out right now with the warm water. And you just kind of drift across an area. You find one or two, and then, you know, you'll maybe leave that area and come back to it as like a little hot spot, and it'll kind of reload, if you will, kind of taking a bass term for a spot. The spot reloads, and then you kind of cycle back to it.
You know, I love fishing with that she-dog. What do you figure is the hookup ratio on a strike on a top dog or a she-dog? How many do you hook out of how many strikes, would you say?
I guess it depends on the day. You know, yesterday was probably 2/5. I wouldn't say it was quite half. It was, you know, because the wave action was so crazy. They would they would come out, and you'd see them like porpoise out, and you know, they were missing a lot yesterday. And then so I probably, you know, that's mostly due to, I think, the wave action. that was on the water, and the fish's aggressive nature yesterday. But you know, sometimes they would just come up and suck it under, and those obviously were great hookup ratios. But the ones that were just kind of throwing their bodies at the top water bait, kind of, you know, you'd catch them in the side of the cheek or something, or you know, not too bad.
Yeah.
I've had better hookup ratio days.
Yeah, well, those days where they're really aggressive, you know, when you got two and three competing for it, you don't miss too many when they're like that. They definitely get it. Brendan, are you exclusively fishing out of kayaks now, or do you do any bay boat fishing?
I do some bay boat fishing. I got a few buddies down there, and we'll get out and, you know, check out the areas that are inaccessible, you know, for me, like the further paddles. You know, I have a range of about 5 miles or so that I'll go. And you know, every blue moon I might, you know, do like a camping trip where I'll take like a one-way destination of, you know, 7 miles, 8 miles, you know, maybe set up a camp on a barrier island, fish, wake up, come back. You got to pick your weather days really carefully for those. And then, you know, the guys that go with you have to have a lot of experience to do that. But, those are pretty adventurous and fun. But other than that, you know, I'll probably get in the bay boat maybe, you know, 5 times a year, you know. The rest of it is in kayaks.
Yeah. So, you know, I kind of compare dedicated kayakers to bow hunters. You know, some guys move from the rifle to the bow and never go back. I mean, they just fall in love with bow hunting. And I think it's the same way with kayak fishermen. There's just something about getting up close and personal and keeping it simple and getting into some areas where you can never get in a bay boat that just makes it so appealing.
Yeah, it kind of drives me crazy fishing in a bay boat sometimes, because you're in this bay boat and it's really, you're really high off the water, and I think the fish move further away from your boat than they do in a kayak. I mean, because yesterday I was catching fish, you know, 5-10 feet away from my boat. In a bay boat, I'm usually catching them like at the end of my cast. I think they just notice the presence of the bay boat a whole lot more than they do the kayak. Where, you know, yesterday I was seeing them follow my bait right up to my kayak, you know, and then turn away whenever I was, like, literally picking it off the water. I don't think that happens as much in the bay boat. Certainly with reds, they don't really care as much. But the trout were, I mean, just right next to the boat. You know, certainly I was casting, you know, pretty far cast and getting some of my fish way out far, but you know, probably half of them were within 30 feet of the boat, 20 feet of the boat. So I think it helps with the quietness of it, the low profile to the water. And I don't know. I really love it, obviously.
Stealth fishing is what it should be called. Brendan, any events coming up on the Bayou Coast calendar? What's the first event that'll be coming up?
We have the Minimalist Challenge, which I think is almost sold out already, and that's going to be January 24th in Leeville. So that's going to be our first big kickoff that starts the Bayou Coast series, and that's 135 anglers. Everybody gets their own exactly matching tackle package, and then they spread out from a shotgun launch. So it's kind of levels of playing field, if you will. Come back to the weigh-in around 3 and see what you got, kind of thing. I also wanted to say that Prien Lake is doing really well right now for the anglers out west. If you want a close trip to home, catch some trout before the game today, that might be a good option. And then over there at Port Sulphur, there's a lot of fish showing up back there behind the high school.
I think CCA just recently, not too long ago, completed a new project there, a structure project in Lake Prien. So might want to check that out.
Yeah.
Brendan, thanks for the report. That's enough. Thanks, Brendan, for today's report and for all years in 2019, and looking forward to 2020, and hope you have another great fishing year like you did this year.
Yes, sir, Don. Happy New Year. Thanks again.
All righty. There he goes, Brendan Bayard, one of our two field reporters. Eric Mahabarak will be up next. And, you know, Brendan had a pretty good year tournament-wise, and hopefully have a better one this year. All right, coming back after this, going to update you on our Baddest of the Bad Boys competition. If you haven't got your vote in yet, you still got time. Back with the nominees right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, checking on our text board. Good morning, Don. It's the last time this year that your show will make me late getting into my stand. Looking forward to 2020. If things don't get better, we're going to have hot dogs at the Wild Game Cook-Off. That's from Louisiana Outlaw John. Well, you know, I got a tip for you. Bring your iPhone. You can listen on your stand. Here's someone looking for Venice Duck reports, making a trip to the management area next weekend. Ask and you shall receive. We've got Ryan Lambert coming up shortly. Here's Richard up in Mount Hermon reminiscing. Said, best time he ever had. He was young, sitting on the front porch of the plantation, eating French bread and butter, drinking old grandma's old-time strong drip coffee, and shooting ducks as they came over the house. The sky was covered. Shoot once, kill two, three at the same time. Yeah, that's the old days. A place called Pecan Grove Plantation is where his family used to own land in, I guess that would be St. Bernard Parish, out by the Mr. Go, owned from the river to the lake, Pecan Grove Plantation. All right, here's someone who lives on the bayou in, I don't know if y'all pronounce this, Goche or Gautier. You know, I guess it depends on which state you're from. Please tell some of your Louisiana specs to swim to Mississippi for the weekend. That's from Tony. I can tell them, but I don't know if they'll listen. All right, we'll be right back to recap the baddest of the bad boys. You're running out of time if you haven't voted. We'll tell you who they are and what their numbers are for you to vote on right after we pause 10 seconds for our local stations to identify themselves on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. All right, it's a special election, and your voting is right now at 870-870. Cast your vote for who you think was the baddest of the bad boys, the most egregious, serious case of 2019. We brought a bunch of them to you. We have six nominees. Captain Snapper Napper, number one, Alberto DeFeo, possessing like 143 red snapper, 90 of them undersized. That's number one. Number two, the black bear killer Dennis Repon of Bastrop hid the black bear head and hide in his freezers, and a chip led the agents to it. That's number two. Number three, Larry Dozat took an ibis and contributed to his grandson's delinquency by asking him to help clean it so they could eat it. The ibis eater is number three. Bobcats, gators, turkeys, and drugs, oh my. David Poston and Darryl Cole, all kind of violations for hunting turkeys, bobcats, and gators. Closed season, no licenses, over limits. And then on top of that, had a little bit of the marijuana and drug paraphernalia. That's number four. Number five, Gilvin P. O'Quinn Jr., who was recently sentenced by Judge Carol Whitehurst. In fact, you get two for one here. We threw the judge in as the baddest boys and girls in this case. Whooping crane killed at a value of $93,700 and got slapped on the wrist with probation, community service, and a hunter education course. That's number five, the whooping crane killer, and the judge to go along with him. And then number six, finally, the Mr. Greedy Venison Miser. LaSalle Parish guy Clifton Sharp admitted to killing 16 deer in 1 year, used other people's tags to put tags on them, failed to validate them. Now he's looking at $18,246 of civil restitution and criminal fines and a possible 120 days in jail. Those, there they are. That's number six. You've got about 20 minutes before we close it out. Cast your vote on our text board at 870-870. We're back right after this. We'll catch up with Ryan Lambert, get a fishing and hunting report from down at the tip of the boot. We call it Plaquemines Parish. Right after this on the Outdoors with Don Dubuque Radio Network. And we call him the Plastic Man, among other things, Captain Ryan Lambert. Ryan, Happy New Year, my friend. Good to talk with you.
Thank you, buddy. Thank you. Everything's good. I'm out to fight for a couple of days. I had a little surgery on the 23rd, but I'll be back in fight by about the 2nd when I go back one more time, and I'll be done with them. But everything's good. I mean, the fish are biting good. You know, the redfish, and the water's so crystal clear, you can see every fish down there. You get a little deeper in about 6 foot of water, you can catch some trout, just small baits on the bottom. So everything's working good. We've been having a lot better second split than we had first split. You know, we finally got some birds down, and you just got to hunt them smart. I mean, right now, you know, we had big negative tides this week, so there was no water in the marsh. And when there's no water in the marsh, you can't get to the good spots. And even if you can, the ducks are offshore because they can't feed. They don't want to walk around where a predator could get them. So, they come in nocturnal or when the tide starts coming in the evening. So we've been playing them and doing well. Everybody limited out again yesterday.
Well, that's good news. As I told you last week, the flyover report said that there were two spots in Louisiana that were holding 80% of the birds that were here, and you were in the middle of one of them down there. So you got to feel fortunate for that. The other one was over by Chafalaya, over that way.
Okay. Yeah, well, we still have food left. You know, the duck potatoes didn't get hurt, and those pintails are wearing them out. I mean, you can only kill one, but it's sure fun to watch. So there's a lot of pintails, a lot of redheads, a lot of gadwalls. Still got blue and green winged teal. Not too many cans yet. You know, they usually, when it gets cold, they'll usually come this way if the Catahoula doesn't have a lot of food. So I'm expecting them because the numbers I've been hearing off of Catahoula wasn't nothing to write home about. So I figure we'll get some cans here in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, I need to get down there and work on a pintail. I hadn't shot a pintail this year.
Well, it's time to make a move, son.
Yeah, I guess it is.
Sarah and her daddy's coming on the 6th and 7th. So there, and then after that, I think I have a spot somewhere. But this week we're extremely busy. I turned down 20 trips yesterday. I just don't have any place to put anyone.
That's a good problem.
Yeah, we're busy, but at the end of the season, I got a spot for you. Don't worry.
Yeah, we'll be down there. All right, I got a question in from a listener, and this comes up quite often. And you've got a lodge down in Mexico. They say 50 duck daily limit in most parts of Mexico. It's the same ducks that are 8 in Canada, 6 in the United States. How many Louisianas have gone to Mexico to kill many ducks? Explain why that limit is so – well, it's not 50 to begin with there, but it's 20. But and the rationale is there's so little pressure that it doesn't add up to anywhere near the amount of ducks that are killed in the United States.
Well, you can't even have a gun there. You know, it's so very, very few people even have a weapon or even care to hunt. I mean, they just in the village where we hunt, it's so poor. Nobody's gotten anything. I mean, they live in shacks that you wouldn't keep your horse in them. I mean, it's pretty tough. I mean, to see it, you know, everybody that's 12 years old, I have to go there every year. It's just, you know, when they're 12 for about 6 months so they can appreciate what we have here. I mean, when the girls start complaining about washing clothes, I said, is it hurting your finger to press that button? Because them little girls out there in 35-degree weather with a washboard and then hanging them on the line. I mean, it's a different culture altogether. They have nothing. So no one hunts. I mean, they got more people hunt opening day in Venice than hunting that whole country. I mean, it's that crazy. So, you know, the birds are there and the liberal limits and – you know, you're not even putting a dent in them and nothing goes to waste. I mean, those people lined up when we get back with wagons and buckets and whatever they can bring because they don't get any protein either. It's all seafood where they live. So to get protein and real meat is a treat. So, you know, it's all good. And I shoot males. You know, it's a liberal limit, but I try to shoot just males when I'm anywhere. You know, unless I'm just trying to scratch out a limit, like in the first split, I'm gonna shoot anything. But if I have birds, I'm just shooting males. So, you know, you got to play it smart, even though you have the opportunity to take a liberal limit like that. You still got to be smart about it.
And you know, the doves is pretty much the same situation. I mean, there's no shortage of doves, and they've been taking a lot of doves there, and even further down Argentina. You know, for years and years. It's just all
When we closed up, when the times got bad down there, when the cartels were having that war, I guess, you know, about 10 years ago, there was 4 million birds, the white wings. Now there's 14.5 million white wings where we hunt. So even at that, I shoot 100, put my gun down, I'm done. I don't have to kill 1,000 birds to show anybody that I could shoot them, you know. Yeah. It's sport, and leave it
at
that.
And it's not greed, and it's not waste, because that feeds the community down there. That's where those birds
are. I definitely see some people that come in greed. I saw one guy shoot 96 boxes of shells last year on one hunt. I mean, that's, you know, that's just a newbie. You know, like somebody with new money, how they got to spend it with the same thing.
I just wish I had some old money. Anyway, Ryan, Happy New Year to you. Glad you're recovering from your little surgery. Look forward to getting down there with you again. And thanks for keeping us up to date on what's going on all year long down there. And look forward to it in 2020.
Yeah, I love being part of the family, buddy. Y'all have a Happy New Year. And all our listeners, just have a great one.
Okay. Thank you. Happy New Year again. See you.
All right, bud.
There he goes, Captain Ryan Lambert. We call him Man of Steel, Plastic Man. He's one of the best golfers at the Grand Ridge Golf Club. And something, oh, yeah, he's the sheik of the harem he's got going on down there. What a guy. He is Plaquemines Parish Bureau's probably most interesting man. All right, we come back after this. We're going to do it. We're going to get your votes in because we're tallying them up right now and announce the baddest of the bad boys for the year 2019 and also tell you what's coming up for the next 2 hours if you're live streaming with us for the More Outdoors show. Back right after this. And, well, we got them tallying up the final results. I still got just a couple of minutes if you want to cast your vote for the baddest of the bad boys for the year of 2019, because we'll be starting off a whole new year of bad boys. We never run low, been doing this for many, many years, and I'm sure we'll have a lot more interesting cases to tell you about the coming year. All right, getting back to the text message and some of the votes, here's one that says bad boy number 5, killing the whooping crane in the clueless blank judge. A lot of people are more angry at the judge than the perpetrator. Let's see. Then we have number 5 by far. That's Randy Chambers. He's one of our Florida listeners. And let's see. Dan from Mobile, longtime listener. He has to go with the crane killer and the judge. Everyone have a great new year. And I got this one in from my co-host Martha. She says, good morning, Don. I'm sitting in the deer stand listening to a soft rain before sunrise. It's supposed to get heavier. Hope that doesn't keep the deer bedded. Have a good weekend, everyone. Martha, that's Martha Spencer, sitting in a deer stand in Texas. All right. Well, we're getting ready to do this, but before I get the final totals handed to me here, let me just kind of go over what we're going to be doing between 7 and 9. We're going to kick it off at 7 o'clock. Grady Galliano, who is the manager at Hunt the Island. You can check him out at huntheisland.com. He's going to join us to talk about a new facet of hunting they've put in down there, upland bird hunting, quail, chukar, and pheasants, in addition to the exotic game and the white-tailed deer and alligator and the fishing and everything else they do down there. They're instituting upland bird hunting, and that is really good because there's really not a lot of opportunity for that. If you own and train dogs, it's kind of a short season. There's limited places to do it, so places like that, Crane Creek up in Poplarville and some of the other ones, provide a very worthy, needed service by getting good flying birds, and you bring your dogs, or they can use their dogs and get in some gentlemanly sport, and ladylike sport called upland bird hunting. He's going to tell us all about that. We're going to go out to some of the duck blinds. You know, we're into the second split now, and find out how some of the hunters are doing. We'll get those reports for you. Then at 8 o'clock, Josh Goins is going to join me. We're going to do the first edition of the Flyway Federation's Foulmouth Radio. We're going to talk about some of the problems and want to hear from you and tell us your problems, your reports, what you're seeing out there, what you believe to be the causes for what I'm calling a duck crisis. Had one of the worst seasons ever last year, and it's not just a year here or there. It's been a downward trend for about the last couple of decades, and it doesn't look like the future's getting any brighter unless we do something about it. And I do believe there's things we can do to turn that around. Some things we can't, some things we can do a little about, but some we can do an awful lot to maybe help and save what is a really precious heritage here in Louisiana, our waterfowl hunting. All right, well, I guess it's time to do this and tell you who the winner is. They're handing me the final results here, and it looks like far and away, number 5, the whooping crane killer and his judge, Gilvin O'Quinn, and also Judge Carol Whitehurst. They took it, number 1. Number 2 goes to the Bobcats, Turkeys, Gators, and Drugs. We had a tie for number 3, the Captain Snapper Napper and the Mr. Greedy Venison Miser. Both of those with way over the limits were tied. And in 4th place, the Black Bear Killer. And trailing in the results, the Ibis Eater finished last in our nominees for the baddest of the bad. And we're going to have a whole new crop of bad boys for you next year, and we do that each and every week. And by the way, we have another whooping crane case that we're keeping an eye on. Kenan Constantine shot and killed 2 whooping cranes in Acadia Parish back in May of 2016. He's finally coming to trial. He's being charged under the Lacey Act, which is a federal offense involving interstate violations of or transportation of game and fish violations. It was originally set earlier this month. And for some strange reason, it was postponed. January 21st, it's not going to be in Judge Carroll's court. No, sir. This one is going to be in Judge Patrick J. Hannah's court. We'll see how this turns out. Again, if you want to see the proceedings of that last hearing, go to my website, DonTheOutdoorsGuy.com, and check it out. It's all there. The complete. It's worth the read. It won't take you that long. It's about, I think, 20 pages. But not only is it a display of sometimes how we get cases of injustice in our courts, but also how the legal system works. And, you know, you'll hear what the attorney said. One of the attorneys said that that was too strict of a sentence, and the $30 or $40 appeal was too high, and that he didn't know if his client could afford it and that type of thing. Stuff that just kind of makes you ill to hear about. All right, well, good. Thank you for tuning in each and every week, and hope you'll join us again each and every week next year. We thank our affiliate stations that carry the program and distribute it for you. We also thank our sponsors. Without them, there would be no show. Please tell them thank you for presenting this show. It's one of the few free shows you can get. You don't pay for any satellite, cable, network. It's absolutely free on the airwaves, and it's all made possible by our wonderful sponsors. Have a great weekend. Hope you'll have a great New Year's and have a great 2020 in the out of doors, hunting and fishing. You know I'll be here with you, and we'll be back again next week. Hope you'll join us. Go to radio.com, HD2 Radio, for more outdoors. It's coming up next. Happy New Year.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.